You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everybody, you're listening to Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show, kissing 2016 goodbye.
I don't want to put 2016 in my lips.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week, a bunch of news, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out.
I have tasted virtual reality and it is sweet.
You have been to the VR zone?
Yes.
Oh man.
Samantha got me PlayStation VR for Christmas and it is very, very cool.
Oh, cool.
Swanky.
Yeah. The 3D works for me.
Really?
Which is weird because I have, terrible eyeballs that don't want to do 3D.
What do you have, like astigmatism?
Yeah, or something. But for some reason in the headset, the 3D works. Like, I can see more depth in virtual reality than I can in real reality.
In actual reality.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So that's really cool. I guess we talk about the games. That's kind of important.
Well, there's I read an article a while back about a guy who couldn't see 3D in movie theaters, and he tried VR when it was in the testing phases or something, and it somehow something clicked in his head and it fixed his eyes.
Huh.
To where he was able to see the stereoscopic whatever in theaters afterwards.
I wonder if I'll be able to see 3D in theaters after this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to pay extra for a ticket, I guess.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's always been really spotty to me where I can just, like, occasionally maybe see something.
Get scared by a butterfly.
Yeah, one
entangled.
Time. Yeah, one time a butterfly entangled really startled me because suddenly it was in 3D for a minute.
Like, he jumped like a foot in the air. So.
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow. So what games did you get with it?
Well, I did the Batman one, which is, what was it called? Batman Arkham VR.
Yeah.
Which is very, very cool. Like, you literally are Batman, but only for about an hour, which is the downside to the game is that you can do it in...
It's only $20, too. So
yeah.
That's...
Okay, that's not bad.
You can do it all in one sitting, but...
It's kind of like an extended demo, basically, for...
Yeah, yeah, it's an extended demo that you have to pay for.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of the games that came out at launch are, like, big demo kind of things.
Yeah, but I would play a full, however long game of this, because... It's not a lot of action stuff. It's mostly like adventure game style puzzles and detective work,
mm-hmm.
which is fun. I mean, it's the other thing Batman does other than punching people.
Yeah, yeah,
being sad.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, you look down and you got your utility belt. You can use a grappling hook on one side, a forensic scanner on the other, and the batarang in the middle. And you can basically just chuck batarangs whenever you want.
Oh, that's awesome.
It feels like you're Batman. And there's a point where you look in a mirror and Batman's face is looking back at you and it is just the weirdest feeling imaginable.
Justice. I bet.
One second, I'm like, make him dab.
And you can. You can make Batman dab.
You can make, oh wow.
I was making
dab man.
Yeah, I was making him do the Bat-2-see.
Awesome.
Although it doesn't really do the fingers.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
A lot of the games are just like, we set you in front of a desk and here's all these objects you can pick up and like look at. But
yeah. Isn't that like Job Simulator or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I that looks fun.
I played the demo of that and it was pretty funny, except I didn't clear up enough space around me for it to work right. So I couldn't reach a lot of the things. It was really easy to set up. Like, I thought it would be a pain in the butt, like kind of like with the Kinect is. The Kinect is a nightmare to deal with, but this mm-hmm. wasn't.
Okay.
This, you just plug it all in and... You just make sure you stand the right distance away and have your head in the center of the frame, and that's it.
I think it even automatically adjusts a bit, too, to help compensate if you're not exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. And I did the Resident Evil 7 demo, which I had played before in not VR,
mm-hmm.
and then playing it through again in VR, it's like 10 times better.
Really?
It's so much more immersive, and which is kind of a nothing word to use most of the time. But I think in VR, immersive finally kind of means something.
It does kind of mean something, because you're actually in the game.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's just 10 times, it's scarier, it's just a better game in VR than it is with the controller.
Hmm.
Almost like it was designed that way, which it probably was.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think I would have a hard time with VR. I watched this video of this guy doing VR. He was like climbing like a cliff or something, and he went to grab a thing and he slipped and fell in VR.
I think I saw that.
He literally fell over. I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, sure. I will 100% be that guy. I guarantee it.
I haven't really had any of those moments. I've reached over to grab stuff and poke the dog, and he got mad at me.
He hit my boob or something. Because I was sitting on the couch next to him, and he had, the wand. And,
Yeah, because that was an accident.
I tell you, if I tried VR, I would almost guarantee I would be the projectile vomit guy. It would be on a roller coaster sim, and I would just be standing in my living room and just,
surprisingly, yeah. Speaking of that, neither of us have had any issues with nausea or anything.
Okay, because I heard that's been an issue for some people. Some people have been getting serious, almost
motion sickness.
Almost like ocean sickness, yeah.
I have not at all. I've even played games where you have full motion control, rotating motion control. Because a lot of the games, they turn that off and you just kind of click different amounts of degrees to the right without slowly scanning like a regular game. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't bother me at all.
I don't know. Back in my days of playing WoW and stuff, I used to jump off cliffs and looking at the screen and my stomach would shift. And that's not even VR. So
maybe an issue there.
Oh boy. It's going to be a good time.
I did a Hatsune Miku concert the other day.
Awesome. Were you Hatsune Miku?
No, it's just a concert that you sit in and watch.
And
you have a little glow stick on your controller, so you move the controller with the music. It simultaneously made me feel old and confused, which I imagine is what a Hatsune Miku concert would actually feel like.
Yeah. Should we tell our listeners what Hatsune Miku is? Because we're just saying a name to some people.
That's true. It's the Vocaloid fake pop star character.
Computer-generated.
Yeah, with a computer-generated singing voice. Yeah,
but they have real concerts. They project her onto a screen. She is
She's a hologram.
She's a living anime singer person that they just punch in songs into and she sings about.
She has her own voice because the computer program created her own voice.
Yeah.
It's all that different from the Gorillaz.
Well,
conceptually, not musically.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, the Gorillaz actually have people actually singing.
Well, yeah, that's why I said conceptually, not musically.
Yeah.
It's the same fake performer concept.
Yeah, right.
Which Japan, did forever ago.
Although you could argue that she's real. Because, it's a real program that really sings in that specific voice.
In that context, I suppose.
That she's realer than the Gorillaz? I don't know.
Not realer than the Gorillaz. The Gorillaz have an actual band and singers.
That's true.
Where
she has a band.
She has a band, but the main singer is a computer program.
Although the only the one Gorillaz person ever... Well, I guess no. Noodle has sung a couple songs, too. The other guys don't, though.
Well,
I mean, I guess...
How often does the drummer sing in a
that's
rock
true.
Band sing? Except for Three Doors Down, as it turns out. Well, the lead singer of Three Doors Down is a drummer.
And Ringo.
Oh.
Can't forget Octopus's Garden.
Yeah, that's true. You can't forget Octopus's Garden.
Well, sometimes your drummer is possessed by the spirit of Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Yeah.
We're getting real deep on this one. Wow.
It's all happening. Right.
Yeah.
But there's a song for the week.
Yeah, there we go. Right. Yeah.
But that Hatsune Miku concert felt about as real as it's going to be.
Without
I
going
was
to
there.
Japan.
Well, you have a virtual singer and a virtual concert.
Yeah.
In a virtual world.
Now you are the only live thing.
You are the intruder onto their world.
Yes. Yes.
And they've noticed.
They have flipped the script.
At one point, my glow stick turned into a leak, and I don't know if that was bad or good.
What is up with Japan and leaks?
I don't know.
It's a very cultural thing with them.
Oh,
it's a stupid vegetable.
In other Hatsune Miku related news.
Yeah, let's go for it.
We got a pre-release of the new Hatsune Miku game from our friends at Atlas.
We did. Now, we can't say anything about the game.
I can preview it.
You can preview it, but we can't say anything about it until the game is out. I read the NDA on it.
John said just surface level stuff.
Surface level, yeah.
Which is all I have because I only played it for about 45 minutes.
Okay.
But the amount of content is insane.
Okay.
There's like...
You're just scrolling and scrolling through the
There's like 150 songs.
Well, it's like a almost like a like a pack of the first three games that
yeah,
they
all put together.
Rolled into one.
Is it like a rhythm game?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very much symbols show up on the screen, they move down, you hit the button.
They had it playing at Gachapon last time we were down there.
Yeah.
Okay, I did play it, and I played it really badly.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
It's pretty fun. I mean, it's a rhythm game. You get what you expect, but the amount of content for your money is pretty astounding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't talk about any more than that.
No, that's probably as far as we can.
There is an Ulala costume from Space Channel 5 you can put on her, and a Sonic costume.
Okay.
It may or may not say Sonic across the butt.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But I don't know. We'll probably get more into that more when it comes closer to when it comes
released,
out.
Yeah.
But I figured we have a chance to do a little preview. We might as well.
Might as well. Absolutely.
I'm glad you escaped the VR zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long enough to show up. Now, next week, you'll probably just be a hologram sitting here.
Yes. I'll be a collection of cubes.
That's it. Yes.
Cube Cody. Yeah.
I'm going to turn into the guy from Rez. Which I played that in VR, and this is going to sound blasphemous. I don't understand the appeal of Rez.
I have no idea about it.
It's like a Tron-looking shooter game with rhythm-y. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, but
Yeah, people go on and on about how great it is, and I'm like, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get Rez.
Well, I really didn't do anything. I watched Christmas Vacation. It's kind of weird.
Good choice.
Can't really talk about Christmas stuff after Christmas. That's not really, you know, the coolest thing.
We had our Christmas movie.
We talked about all that. Christmas movie. So, that's really about it. I started reading a book, that I got for Christmas called, I Cannot Yet I Must. It's a, biography of the, and like making of the movie Robot Monster, which is one of my favorite all-time bad movies. Although, not really bad movie, just 50s sci-fi...
goofiness.
It's yeah. It's bad now, but at the time when it was made, it was just like Drive-In.
That's the movies they made at the time.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the writer, like, he made this analogy, and I guess I didn't really think about it this way until he said it, and it makes a lot of sense. If Ed Wood, you know, the guy who did... Play 9 from Outer Space, Glenn or Glenda, like all the bad movies, all those really well-known bad movies. If he's like the Spielberg of bad 50s B movies, because he just made hundreds and just put himself out and was just over and over and over in different genres and different, you know, this, that, and the other. The guy who made this, I think his last name is Turner, would be like the George Lucas, because he only made maybe a dozen movies, and he did a lot of practical effects, and he did a lot of behind the scenes editing on films and things like that, where George Lucas, everybody knows George Lucas, but how many movies has he directed?
Eight or nine.
And all of the special effects that he was doing in the original Star Wars films, you know, they were big for the time. Kind of the same thing for Robot Monster.
Those bubbles were groundbreaking.
But I mean, like the different editing techniques and things that he did with those movies. And I guess I never really thought of it that way, but it makes a lot of sense, at least to me. But I'm not too far into it. The book is like 600 pages long.
I can't believe how big that book is.
It's huge. I had no idea it was going to be that
It's a
massive
Harry Potter book.
Basically, about a robot monster, about a gorilla with a space helmet.
It's a later Harry Potter book. Yeah. Right. The first ones are thin.
Yeah. But no, that's really all I've been doing.
I've been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm.
Why?
Yeah, why would you do that to yourself?
I want that Genji skin for Overwatch.
Ah.
Oh, there's an ulterior motive here.
Yeah.
I tried Heroes of the Storm and I hated it.
It's not the worst MOBA I've ever played.
Still a MOBA.
That's like, it's not the most horrible tasting dog do. Sorry, I don't get MOBAs.
I don't care for it either, but I've been running around with a bunch of other people who are just out to get the skin, so the community, it's not been too bad.
That's not terrible in that case.
I mean, there are a lot of characters in this game. It's kind of ridiculous how many characters are in the game. They even have the Lost Vikings.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. But I wish I don't have them on my roster. Mm.
They should just put them in Overwatch.
It'd be nice. But there, I guess there is like Blizzard is celebrating the 20th anniversary of Diablo. And there's a bunch of cross-game stuff going on.
Yeah, there's even some there's going to be some Overwatch sprays.
Yeah, which would be cool. It makes me want to boot up Diablo 3 again so I can play the Darkening of Tristram.
Yeah, that looks really cool. They're doing kind of a... It's not really a remake, but kind of like a...
They call it Glorious Retrovision is what they're calling it. But they're basically setting aside a dungeon in Diablo 3 that is a remake of the original dungeon from Diablo.
Mm.
With some of the original Diablo classes and kind of a downgraded graphics thing.
Yeah, like a visual filter. Like they put it through a shader on it that makes
yep.
it look like...
And a only 9-way movement.
Oh, cool.
Like the original Diablo. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But basically, I've just been playing a lot of games of Heroes of the Storm so I can get this really sweet Genji skin.
Very cool.
What is the Genji skin? What does it look like?
He looks like a Japanese Oni demon.
Oh, that's cool.
With like, he's got like all black outfit with like red shurikens, and then he's got like this white face with like the red tusks and stuff.
That's cool, but not cool enough to get me to play Heroes of the Storm.
I had nothing really else going on. what else? Oh, I got
Do you have the D.Va voice lines for Heroes of the Storm?
Oh no,
I love those.
I don't have those. That sounds like it'd be great. They only have like two Overwatch characters in Heroes of the Storm.
It's Tracer and...
And Zarya.
Zarya, which is a weird but cool choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the characters are Warcraft characters.
Sure.
Diablo characters. There's, like, some StarCraft characters, but there's, like, not as many in comparison.
It's just, like, Nova and, like, the fire guy.
Nova, Raynor, the other Space Marine, I can't remember his name.
Couple, I don't know anything about StarCraft.
Couple of... Protoss people, and then Kerrigan after she became Queen of the Swarm, and then like maybe another Zerg character. But some of the game modes are kind of interesting on the different maps. Or different, like there was like a StarCraft themed map where you have to capture these things that collect Zergs, and then you can unleash the Zerg rush on the other team base. It's kind of just goofy stuff.
Whenever I play a MOBA, it's just like I'm juggling all of these things, and I.
And also, people are yelling at me.
Yeah, and people are calling me an idiot.
So far, I haven't really run into that a whole lot, and like the gameplay is pretty easy, actually, I think, in comparison to some of the other ones I've played.
I did the tutorial, and I thought I had a handle on it, and I started the game, and I'm like, what's happening?
I don't know, I guess I've also been playing a really easy character, so...
Well, that's good.
With a really easy moveset. This stuns, this is an AoE, and just swing at stuff.
I like the girl that rides around in the tank.
Oh, Sergeant, whatever. Yeah, StarCraft character.
She's cool.
Yeah, I saw some pretty interesting skins. There are a bunch of like StarCraft skins for Warcraft characters, and it's really goofy and weird.
That's kind of cool.
It puts all these fantasy characters in like space armor and whatnot.
See, now that would get me into fantasy characters
if they wore space armor.
If they were also space.
But on the same, they have fantasy skins for the StarCraft characters.
Not interested.
And you lost me.
And you lost me.
I don't know. I almost bought a skin for the character I'm playing right now because you get it's. I've been playing Mord and Bronzebeard.
Dwarf. Of course,
yeah,
it's a dwarf.
That sounds like a character you would play.
Yeah,
oh, of course, duh.
Benwyn Bronzebottom.
But yeah, he was in Warcraft 3. It was great. And one of his other skins though is his brother from World of Warcraft. Mm. But anyway, it's this. They call it Marauded and Moradin, and you basically have this full dwarfy space armor with like a jump pack and a big cyber beard.
Cyber beard.
Nice.
And you get a cyber ram mount you can ride around on the map on.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Who
that's
had the roller derby skin? Somebody had
There are some roller derby skins for various characters. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm into it, but I don't hate it. Like, it's not League and it's not Dota, and it plays easier. There have been some MOBAs I've been able to get behind. Like, Smite plays pretty well, and I like it. When Transformers had their MOBA, I was really into that.
There's a Transformers MOBA?
It doesn't exist anymore, but I was really, really good at it. It was more like third-person shooter on an arena.
The closest thing to a MOBA that I ever enjoyed was Monday Night Combat.
Monday Night Combat, yeah. I guess, yeah. That was really good.
Which, weirdly enough, like the second time in a couple weeks, we've mentioned Monday Night Combat on this show.
It's one of those kind of like little cult, I think, little cult games. That
yeah, I really loved that game.
Yeah.
I got the last Sentai season for Christmas.
Oh, O-Ranger.
Yep, I got O-Ranger.
Very cool. Have you watched any of it yet?
No, I haven't gotten into it yet.
Okay. It's trippy. Oh,
Olay.
Olay, yeah. They say Olay a lot, and they're all based on shapes.
And dancing.
And dancing and different...
And dancing shapes.
Different mystical, like the Seven Wonders of the World.
Yeah, because the Special Ranger is King Ranger, and it's the pyramid.
He's a pyramid. There's a sphinx. There's someone that's supposed to look like one of the Stonehenge. Or like the Maui heads.
Oh, it's Easter Island.
Easter Island heads. Yeah. And there's one that's supposed to look like one of those clay doll, like the ancient astronaut, like, like weird things.
What?
Yeah, you know, those like ceramic, like, they look like people kind of, but they have the giant head with the huge eyes and the little stubby arms and legs. And they're like pots, but they look like people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, aliens. Those things.
Huh?
Aliens.
Aliens.
Oh, aliens. Okay, aliens.
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 But no, O-Ranger's weird. Yeah. Buckle in. I'm waiting for the next season, Car Ranger.
Because yeah,
that's all Car Ranger.
Car Ranger's next, and it's great. It's the best.
I would buy that right when it comes out.
Same here.
Really want them. I really hope they start doing like the Sentais that never came over or that never got translated.
I have a theory about that since they've been releasing. Shout Factory's been releasing. Oh, if people who don't know what we're talking about, Sentai is what is the Japanese show that Power Rangers was taken from. Our season one of Power Rangers was season 16 of Sentai. It was dinosaur themed. Mm-hmm. They moved up. This O-Ranger is what Power Rangers Zeo, the first major shift in the show, was.
Yeah.
That's enough backstory. I could talk about this for an hour. In fact, we have talked about this for an hour.
That could be a separate podcast.
It absolutely could, and it should. But yeah, my theory is because Shout Factory's been putting out two seasons packs per year, eventually they're going to catch up with the modern day show. And at that point, they'll probably do one pack of the new show and one pack of one of the classics, like the pre-Power Rangers. Because like I said, there's 15 seasons.
Like Jetman. And
I would love an official release of Jetman. I would love an official release of Turbo Ranger and Dynaman.
Jacker.
Yeah, Jacker. Well, Go Ranger, the original, the 70s one. That where they were all super spies.
The goofy helmets you can't see out of.
Oh, yeah. The helmets that had holes in them instead of a visor. Yeah, it wasn't made out of sunglass materials, so you just had these like weird like bug-eye looking things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we could get Tokuger because that'll never come to America.
No, although one of the main villains is being used for Ninja Steel.
Really?
The guy with the top hat and the plague mask.
Was that Noir?
Nope.
Okay. Because I know they all had like black names.
All their names were black, different shades of black in different languages.
Yeah. I really liked the Shadow Line villains. They were really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Americans aren't quite into bullet trains.
Yeah.
As much as. Yeah.
Their
Japanese.
Putties were cool too. The crows.
Yeah. They look like bandits.
Yeah,
if
they
only
were.
Only we had a reliable light rail system. That would be nice.
That would be super great.
I did read an article about a train system running from Columbus to Chicago.
Yeah. That would be great. I would use that like constantly.
Yeah, I would too.
I would take a weekend and go to Chicago if I just had to hop on a train.
I love Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a great town.
Oh, yeah, it's a great
Let's
town.
See here.
Windy City. Cubs and White Sox.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Deep Dish Pizza.
Second City.
Lincoln City, Field Museum.
Yeah.
Adler Planetarium.
Hey, that arcade we never went to.
Yeah. Galloping Ghosts.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Hey, that Pac-Man restaurant was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
If anyone ever wants to get to Schaumburg?
Yeah, Schaumburg, Illinois.
Yeah, a suburb of Chicago. It's a great town.
Yeah. Yeah,
very enjoyable.
When it's not raining and 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, don't do it in all in one trip back and forth in one day.
But it has a very nice Best Buy.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. Kind of laid out weird.
We're talking about when we went to the Nintendo World Championships.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, we made a trip out there for that. It was a great time.
It was a really good time.
Some great memories there.
But anyway,
that's what makes me wonder, because Shout Factory's been putting out a bunch of the Ultraman stuff on DVD too.
Yes.
Which has really almost no presence in the United States.
Not really. Not since
when it was on Fox Kids.
The original Ultraman, or not the original, but like the first major series of Ultraman was on it back in the 70s. It was and then they adapted one of the Ultraman series into
the Super Cyber Samurai.
Super Samurai Cyber Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent name.
Yeah. With Tim Curry as the voice of the villain.
Yep.
That was, yeah.
Don't do
pizza.
It.
Cheese pizza. Cheese pizza.
I did have.
Have a wonderful day.
Actually, that reminds me of when you guys were talking about Christmas stuff last week.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Christmas. It was my fourth grade Christmas, and I really wanted the Dragon Zord from the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
The second major Megazord.
Sure, in the cartoon,
or in the show.
Yeah.
I really wanted that. And instead, I got the big Tyrannosaur dragon robot from Super Cyber Samurai.
That's nice. Like getting GoBots when you wanted Transformers.
Yeah, it's exactly it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. After I got the other toys that connect with it, mm-hmm. it was pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. Oh, sure. Because that one, you just got a guy that had stuff snap onto him.
Yeah, because you had the Ultraman figure, mm-hmm. and then...
That you put armor onto, basically.
Well, the one vehicle was armor. The dinosaur head thing was kind of armor and also a weapon.
Yeah.
Because it turned into a big flying bazooka jet thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird.
It was weird.
That show was so weird.
Yeah, at least you didn't get any toys from a tattooed teenage aliens from Beverly Hills.
Oh! I almost forgot that show.
Yeah, I can't get it out of my head because they were all wrestlers based on astrological signs. And they would transform but also grow huge. They didn't have robots. They were just giant. They just turned into giant wrestlers. The kids turned
juicers.
Into giant wrestlers.
They were
That's
juicers.
Pretty rad.
With full face masks, so you couldn't tell that they weren't...
Children.
Children. Yeah.
Well, look at O-Ranger. Gold Ranger's a kid. Or King Ranger's a kid.
They did that a lot.
Yeah.
They did that.
Some Captain Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they did the same thing for the American Power Rangers, too. Because with Turbo... He had the one kid who was the Blue Ranger, and when he would morph, he would become a full-size adult.
Oh, nobody
because
liked that.
Because kids can't drive.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? The Car Rangers couldn't drive.
Nobody liked Justin. Justin the Blue Ranger. Nobody.
Do you remember when they did a movie, and that movie was bad?
Turbo, a Power Rangers movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go back and watch that as an adult. I don't understand how they got away with having the villain dressed the way she was.
Oh, yeah.
Divatox?
Yeah.
In the movie?
Yeah, she was like basically like Japanese, or she was basically like stripper villain.
Yeah, kind of.
One second.
Yeah, we're going to take a break here, and when we look up these pictures of Divatox from Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, and when we come back, we'll get in some news.
It's Morphin time.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
We're back from our break, and I can safely say that we've all become fans of 1997's Hillary Shepherd. the song we played was Boat Drinks by one Mr. James Buffett. We were going to play something by Hatsune Miku, but we listened to a couple tracks, and we didn't want to subject you to all that. And with all the kind of negative stuff that's going on, we kind of want to take a little little island time, a little relaxing break away from everything. So,
And who better to take you to the island than Mr. James Buffett
himself? The Buffett man, Mr. Buffet. So anyway, let's get
it. James Buffet.
James Buffet, yes.
The Buffet.
Well, anyway, let's go ahead and get in some news, and let's get the sad stuff out of the way quick. And
rip it off like a Band-Aid.
First, we don't really talk about celebrity deaths on this show. It's not really something that we cover. Same thing with the website. We've never covered a celebrity death, but we would be remiss to not discuss this even a little bit briefly. Carrie Fisher, most folks know her as Princess Leia, but she has been a script doctor for years, a really prolific writer and actress and advocate for mental health, among many, many other things.
She's done so much.
She's done a ton of stuff. It's it's kind of disingenuous to kind of pigeonhole her straight into Princess, just into Princess Leia. But she passed away over the past week
from heart complications.
And it's really sad.
It's been a super bummer. I think it's hit me harder than any of the multitude of celebrity deaths we've had this year.
Yeah.
This one hit me probably just as hard as the Robin Williams one for me. Yeah.
Oh my God. Not that I forgot about that. I just hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
That was this year.
That was this year. There have been a bunch. There have been a few. Yeah, there have been a few. And unfortunately, a day after Carrie Fisher passed, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, who I remember from Halloween Town, the Nickelodeon show, but also in...
I thought that was a Disney movie.
That was a Disney. Yeah, it was Disney. Sorry. Disney movie and
Singing in the Rain
was the big one, and just all sorts of stuff. She passed away from a stroke, probably dealing with everything to do with Carrie Fisher, and it is...
absolutely heartbreaking.
It's incredibly sad, and
none of the celebrity deaths have gotten tears out of me, but this one was real... Carrie Fisher was really close.
Yeah. Yeah. I always try to keep that disconnect because...
They're just people.
They are they are just people. And it's something that happens. And two, it's not going to stop me from living my life and keeping going, but it is incredibly sad. And I don't know, I just kind of thought we should probably mention
it.
And
she's one of the big three of Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
She even worked on the scripts on all the other ones too.
Yeah, well, any movie you liked from that time period, she's probably
she doctored up.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, there for the longest time, she just there's a list. There was a list online. I unfortunately didn't think to pull it up here, but there was a huge whole list you can find online that she had doctored up, and it's like every major movie from the early 90s that you love. She went in and punched up, and I don't know. It's a weird feeling, and a lot of people are blaming it on 2016, and I can understand needing something, and as a coping mechanism, needing something physical and tangible
to point at
and go, I am mad at this thing for this otherwise random thing from happening. The problem is, I see, and we talked about this off mic a little bit, this isn't the end of a lot of the celebrity deaths, unfortunately. I kind of have a theory about all this,
and it's a legitimate theory.
It's not like a crazy
conspiracy.
Aliens are coming down and swiping up all the good.
Celebrities.
Yeah, yeah. The rapture's coming down, and everyone's getting raptured. No. The theory is,
although you could argue.
No. Well, no. The theory I have is, baby boomers, like after World War II, everybody came back and there was an influx of births.
A huge population boost.
Population boost. And we are reaching a point where a lot of the baby boomers are getting older.
The 50s and 60s aren't that old, though. That's the thing.
That's true.
But that is kind of at the early point.
Yeah. So what you're saying is it's only going to get worse.
Fifty-year-old, 60-year-old, that's still pretty young to die.
Oh, I absolutely agree, but you have 50- and 60-year-olds who have lived as hard a life as... I mean, look at the major ones that we keep thinking of. Carrie Fisher, David Bowie, Prince, George Michael, who no one's really talking about. It's Carrie Fisher kind of came in and stole his thunder a little bit, but George Michael from
Wham
passed
away. Who's apparently just an amazing guy.
Yes,
generous... stuff he did without wanting people to know he did it.
Same week.
Turns out after he got clean, he became super like philanthropic, like
worked
incredibly.
At a homeless shelter and asked like nobody.
Yeah.
Tell anybody.
Yeah, but my point is, these are all people who they at least at one point definitely lived the life. If you know what I mean. And I think we're starting to see the beginning of like the reverse baby boom kind of.
Yeah. I think you're definitely onto something there.
Yeah, so I don't know. I try not to think about this kind of stuff because I don't like being bummed out. But
and we don't want this show to be something that bums you out.
Exactly, and we don't talk about celebrity deaths all that often. Anyway, getting back to the original point, Carrie Fisher's passed, Debbie Runzel's passed, and that is incredibly sad. And we just want to take a minute to kind of
remember.
Anyway, transitioning off from that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird.
Whiplash.
But
moving on.
Last couple weeks ago, we all got a chance to see Rogue One from Star Wars. And
we all saw it opening night, actually.
We did. And we actually briefly thought about talking about it on last week's show, but we decided to kind of let last week's show be just kind of a relaxing Christmas
experience.
It's one way of putting it. But let's just take a couple minutes and discuss what we thought of Rogue One.
Should we maybe throw a spoiler warning on this? A
light spoiler. I don't want to get too deep into some of the crazy spoiler stuff, but
yeah, there's plenty to discuss.
It has been out for a couple weeks, so I would say light spoiler. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
I loved it. It's probably my second favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I
don't know if I'd go that far, but I did enjoy it quite a bit, a lot.
It was definitely a Star Wars, and I mean that in a, like, this is finally a movie that feels like a Star Wars.
Yeah, this actually had a war in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Force Awakens was a good movie, and it was Star Wars-y,
mm-hmm.
but this was a Star Wars.
This is the first time they've actually made it feel like there is an actual war going on. That whole third act was, take out the space lasers, put real guns in there, and it could have been
a war film.
Yeah.
A war film.
Dirty Dozen or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know any war movies.
I mean, come on. You even had, like, an alien, like, door gunner guy sweeping around, picking off stormtroopers and mm-hmm. stuff.
But I enjoyed it quite a bit. I wish we had a little more time. Thinking back on it, the first act was a little weak, I think.
Like, it just feels like they don't talk about, like, Jin too much.
Yeah,
that's
a
problem. Like, she's just kind of there.
Here's,
I mean, I guess that is kind of supposed to be, like, the sad part, is that she never, you don't get to see what she would have done because she kind of got stuck into doing the,
there,
you know?
A lot of the beginning of the movie was us being told that she is a badass. We didn't see a whole lot of it.
That's
and
true.
I will be honest, I couldn't remember her name until halfway through the movie. I was having a heck of a time remembering the main character's name. I couldn't remember half the names. Actually,
yeah, the characterization was not.
It wasn't there.
And a lot of them had really, like, really, really goofy names. Like, it's really hard to remember any of them.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you try to think there for a second. What are some of the names? Not Jen Erso or
Cassian?
Cassian.
Cassian.
Captain Cassian.
Yep. Okay.
Garrus.
K2SO.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I've committed that to memory.
Yeah.
Because he is the best.
That probably one of the best uses of a droid, I think.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Commander Shepard.
And this is my favorite Death Star in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Tally Zora, Vast Normandy.
But okay, who, what are the names of, what's the name of the pilot?
Bazooka Joe. It's something with a B.
Yeah.
Baz Luhrmann.
Muslim stand-in.
What are the names of the, he wasn't a Jedi, but the Force user and his buddy?
Chirrut. Oh, the blind monk?
Mm-hmm.
Chirrut something.
Chiro.
Churros.
No, seriously, for a long time I thought his name was like Chiro, because he kept saying it. I'm like, so he's a Mexican snack?
And that's kind of the problem, that's the only real problem I have with the movie, I think.
That was Diego Luna.
But no, I just had a little bit of trouble not keeping them all straight, but I couldn't get super invested until the third act. I couldn't really get invested in what they were doing because I didn't really know or care about any of the characters.
I will say there was not a lot of character building.
Yeah, a lot of the characters were morally gray and kind of rode the line between being good and bad and all this stuff, which is in stark contrast to A New Hope, where you see Luke, you see they set up what kind of character he is. You get Luke after the first scene, you get him. You understand.
Yeah.
You see Han in the first scene that you see him, you understand his character. You see Princess Leia, and you get her character.
Oh, yeah. The original movies are the good guys are good and the bad guys are bad.
Yeah.
There's no gray area.
Well, Han was kind of the gray area.
He was gray area, but you still understood what his deal was.
His motivation. Yeah.
Money. Money, yeah. Like, you could say in one line, in one sentence, in five words, what each of the main characters of Star Wars, A New Hope, what their deal was. Can you do that with Jen Erso?
No.
Where's my dad? My dad. Something about my dad.
Yeah. but beyond that.
Which is, it's not a character description.
It's making me sound like I didn't like the movie. I really enjoyed the movie.
It's a good movie. It just has some issues.
It had, yeah, it, walking out of it, I absolutely loved it. But it's one of those situations where after sitting about it and thinking about it a little bit, maybe, I would definitely say top five Star Wars related media, for sure.
Yeah.
But definitely better than anything the prequels
put out. I think most of the things that are bad are not they're not movie breakingly bad.
No, exactly. But it would be disingenuous to say that there is no problems with the movie.
Yeah.
There are problems with the movie.
I feel like they didn't spend enough time maybe with the characters for you to feel super close to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like with the Dirty Dozen, because I like comparing it to Dirty Dozen. Because it had like that weird sci-fi feel version.
I would have loved this movie if it were like The Dirty Dozen or like Seven Samurai, but it wasn't.
No. But the fact is, like in The Dirty Dozen, you spend the first, half of the movie getting to know the characters?
Yeah.
As they're training in their prison boot camp and whatnot?
Yeah.
With this, you get Jin and you get Cassian and K2 for most of the movie. And all of a sudden, all the other supporting characters just kind of get
thrown in.
Yeah. Real quick.
Yeah. What I wanted was Seven Samurai in space. What I got was filler war movie. Not saying that that's bad. It's just doesn't really. And I think Forrest Whitaker was way underused.
Yeah.
I really do.
Although he's going to be in Rebels.
He's going to be in Rebels.
As a younger version of himself, yeah.
And they did get Forrest Whitaker to voice him. So yeah. It's going to be the guy. And I guess he was in Clone Wars as well.
Yeah. He's in the later seasons, yeah.
But
honestly, again, I hate his character in that season.
I didn't care for him in this movie because what did Forrest Whitaker's character do? He stood there. He talked. He kind of rambled for 5 minutes.
He had asthma.
And then he let himself get blown up.
For no good reason.
He could have walked. He could have left. He could have run just as well as any. He had robot legs. Of course he could have ran.
He had robot legs, but he still had a walking stick.
Still. He could have had someone say, okay, ditch these robot legs. Someone carry me to the ship. Instead, he's like, no, you must go. I must stay. I must stay and hold off this giant explosion while you're running away.
Give me one of those lizards that Obi-Wan rides on. Yeah. Prequel.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Those weird yelping.
Yeah.
Vactyl lizards or whatever they're called. The velociraptors from the kitchen scene of Jurassic Park?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. But, again, I enjoyed the movie. I really did.
It doesn't sound like we like the movie, but I love the movie.
And I think the reason why we're being so critical of the movie is because we enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
I really think that's what it is. And I don't want to say what the ending of the movie is, but I think that it ended the way it needed to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I want to say good on Disney for doing that instead of...
They proposed another ending where it kind of reversed it, and it was the super happy ending. And I'm glad they stuck with the way they wanted it, the way they did it.
Kind of has some artistic integrity to Star Wars to handle it in that way.
That, more than anything, made me hopeful for all these other Star Wars spinoff movies, because they were... able to do something.
I liked how different it
was. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of like, if you're a big Star Wars fan, there's a lot of references in the movie.
At points, almost too many.
Sometimes, yeah.
Did we really need arm cut off guy and you'll be dead guy?
That was the only one I didn't like. I thought that was a huge stretch, and it was dumb.
We didn't need to see R2 and C-3PO.
That was nice, though.
We didn't need it, though.
It was 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But still.
Hey, you know, what about you know, Watchtower guy on Yavin 4 there?
Well, yeah. I did. I did like that they got Jimmy Smits as Senator Basil Oregano in there for a scene or two. That was a tie to probably one of the only good things about
the prequels. Yeah. And the young Mon Martha.
Yeah.
I hate you. I hate you for putting that in my head now.
The next time you're having a Star Wars discussion, you're going to think Basil Oregano instead of Bail Organa.
okay. If we want to talk about that, would you think? Do we want to talk about?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll talk about the not the one at the very end, but we'll talk about the one that happened major in the movie.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, Grandma Tarkin.
Grandma Tarkin.
Grandma Tarkin's in the movie.
Grandma Tarkin.
Yeah. No, they digitally put in
Peter Cushing's head.
Yeah. Onto an actor's body and had Grand Moff Tarkin in this movie. And for the most part, it worked.
Yeah, it didn't. It wasn't like young Jeff Bridges in Tron 2.
That was good that they didn't try to young him up.
Yeah.
They definitely made him. It didn't skeeve me out nearly as much as it usually does. Because that Uncanny Valley stuff really gets me. More than it probably should. Uncanny Valley is when you're looking at something that is almost human, but is just a little tiny bit off, and something in your brain goes, "I don't like that." A lot of those Japanese, like, robot, cyborg, like, human testing things.
We watched the Jungle Book remake live action the other day, and it bothered me with the animals.
Yeah, because they're just close enough, but they're just not quite there. And it didn't. It only every once in a great while it set off kind of that weird, "I don't like that," in my brain.
Well, the thing I liked about it is, like, I read a thing about, like, how they did it and, like, the amount of work they did in it.
They had to have put a ton of work into it.
I mean, the actor wore a motion capture, well, not motion capture, but a performance capture device on his head.
Sure.
Much like for, like, the Planet of the Apes stuff they have now and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Except it wasn't Andy Serkis.
No, yeah. No. That would have been
great.
They managed to put a motion capture suit on somebody that wasn't Andy Serkis.
I'm sure there's a union violation in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But, they got an actor who was about the size of Peter Cushing and the shape and whatnot. And they did a lot of research on, like, how Peter Cushing, like, moved his mouth and the way he delivered certain words and stuff.
Oh, it was a full performance.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
On how they did it, and they worked very closely with the Cushing estate.
Yes, that right there made it okay for me more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Was that they got permission from the Cushing estate to allow his likeness? Because with this kind of technology, you're walking that fine line where they could, if it's ethical to put someone into a movie, whether they want to or not.
Yeah,
because who's to say next year? If they just let full reign of this stuff, hey, I really like Humphrey Bogart. We know an actor that can mimic his voice really well. Let's start pumping out more Bogart movies.
The Maltese Falcon 2.
Yeah.
Two Falcon, crazy. Two Furious.
but you get where I'm coming from. Yeah.
It's a gray line.
A very gray, very thin line that they have to be really careful with. Well, anyway, I think we should probably go ahead and move on from the Rogue One talk. But overall, I enjoyed it,
yeah,
I think.
Great movie. I can't wait to see what else they do with their Star Wars storyline.
With Han Solo?
Yeah.
Did you notice Phil Lord and Chris Miller were in the special thanks at the end?
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Did they doctor the script or anything?
Probably. I wonder if they did.
They probably did. They probably added some of the... They probably did a lot of the K2SO jokes.
Because he is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... what's his name?
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk. Wash from Firefly.
Yep. And...
King Candy.
King Candy and Duke Wesselton in...
Pirate Steve from Dodgeball. Don't forget his seminal role as Pirate Steve.
But Steve, if you're not a pirate anymore, who am I going to share all this treasure with?
Yar.
Yar. There was a long time I was referred to as Pirate Steve.
I'm not surprised.
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie, yeah. While we're talking about reviewing things, we have a couple of other news things, but I think instead we should probably talk a little bit about the Doctor Who Christmas special.
That's right. They had a Christmas special in quotes.
Yeah. I only watched about 10 minutes of it, so my input might not be super great, but I did read a synopsis.
Super.
Yeah, right. So what did you guys think?
Definitely not the best one.
It was, as a Christmas special, it was a hot dumpster fire. As a Doctor Who episode, it was mediocre at best.
Okay. We don't have to go through, like, beat by beat, but what was the main thrust of the episode for folks who didn't watch it?
Superman 1.
Yeah. Stephen Moffat watched Superman 1 again and said, well, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then he did it in Doctor Who for Christmas.
Like, you should... because they threw in some, like, kind of, they always do kind of throw in little interviews, like, in the commercial breaks with, like, the actors and Moffat and stuff. And he's basically, yeah, I want to do Superman.
Yeah, it's basically what he said.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, the basic conceit of the episode was the Doctor was setting something up to stop an alien invasion a long time ago in the past.
And it wasn't so much to stop an invasion. He was fixing a something that he broke in time.
Yeah.
That centers around New York, which, you think about it, yeah. I mean, there's that whole thing where there's basically everything in New York's a weeping angel.
Yeah.
But he was fixing this thing, and a kid's hanging out with him like you do. And the kid ate this crystal that was part of the machine, and it gave him superpowers.
He thought it was medicine.
Yeah. Which, I mean, the doctor said he was a doctor, and he also gave him a glass of water.
And say, here, hold this. Originally, I thought it was medicine. I thought he was giving the kid medicine, but no, I didn't realize it was a star crystal.
So the kid just ate a rock and got superpowers.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Gives you whatever you want, basically.
Yeah. And this kid was really into superheroes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what, years later, the doctor comes back and the guy is an actual superhero.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
And there's brain aliens that are trying to take over the world.
Boy, that really doesn't sound like Doctor Who. I don't know.
Really? I think it sounds very Doctor Who.
it was aliens, brain aliens that were taking over world leaders, trying to take over world leaders' bodies or something.
Yes, they're implanting themselves in the bodies of influential people.
Okay. I mean, I guess that part, okay, parts of it does sound kind of like Doctor Who. I guess I should qualify. It sounds, why Earth? Why New York? Why... Doctor Who stories to me, and I don't know Doctor Who that well, so maybe I'm totally wrong, but they always seem a bit more galactic, a bit wider and broader, and...
Yes and no. A lot of them, you know, center around London.
Yeah.
Almost every Christmas special was in London.
I guess.
And this one should have been.
Yeah, I know, right? It would have made more sense. But he wanted to have a New York superhero story. Also, that building basically being the Daily Planet, but not a newspaper thing. That was so dumb.
And they basically wholesale lift the Lois Lane Superman kind of interviewy rooftop thing scene. They basically whole cloth take that and try to do that.
Boy, that doesn't sound good at all.
You should watch it all the way through and compare it to Superman.
Because
it is.
Should.
Like, seriously, the dude has like shorter dark hair, changes his voice, even has glasses
when he's
not superheroing.
Isn't he like the Lois Lane character's nanny or something?
Yep. Watching her kid from a relationship that she had with his best friend.
Boy, that's like stalkery.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's super, like, the ghost is super creepy.
Yeah, that's his superhero name. He's the ghost. He
couldn't be more creative than the ghost.
Well, it's because the crystal was like is called like the ghost of something. It's something the doctor said early in the episode.
It's still not a very good
name. No, it's terrible. Name.
Well, it's probably because Moffat wanted to call it Space Ghost and then realized, nope, can't do that.
There is a really kind of a funny thing where, like, she's interviewing him and she asks him, do you have a girlfriend? A boyfriend? And he goes, you know, no judgment, but you do fly around in a leather suit with a big G on your chest.
I half expected them to do the... don't worry, I've got you. But who's got you? Line from...
Oh, jeez, yeah.
He did say something almost like that. Like, when he started...
when he rushes upstairs as Grant.
No, when he flies her home. What did she say?
I forget.
No,
she was okay.
He asked her, I hope you're not afraid of heights. She goes, I'm fine so far. Or something like... The whole episode was dumb.
It was.
Yeah,
I mean...
It wasn't Christmassy.
No, not at all.
Yeah, nothing about this screams Christmas at all.
The only Christmas part was at the beginning. It was Christmas time when he's with the when he's
yeah. Is it
kid.
Even Christmas during the episode?
No, I don't think so.
No, it is winter. There might be Christmas decorations in her apartment.
No, because she was on the roof in that little dress. No, it was not winter.
Yeah, it was.
No,
there was snow.
There was not snow.
There was snow.
Yeah, she was wearing a little red dress when. They were having a rooftop picnic.
No one does that in winter in New York. No.
I would, but anyway.
Do people do that anyway?
They have those hip urban rooftop parties that people bring their Nintendo Switch to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if ads have informed me of anything.
That run 40% slower when it's not connected to the dock.
Seriously? Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a big cut.
That's like, yikes. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't sound like I really want to watch this episode. No. I probably should.
Like, I love Doctor Who, and I love Peter Capaldi.
Who was fantastic in this.
Yeah, he is fantastic. And the one dude from Little Britain that was in the last Christmas episode, I think. Was it a Christmas episode? The Husbands of River Song?
Yeah, it was, I think. Or it was a finale. It was the series finale.
It was the series finale. Okay. He's great.
If Capaldi wasn't so great, the episode would have been worthless. He saved it from being absolute garbage.
It's still not great.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I love Doctor Who, but like a lot of episodes, they're hit or miss. Generally, when you have your Christmas special, which are kind of a big deal within the Who Nerdverse, you tend to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, they've always... I don't think I've ever seen one I didn't like.
It's like the Simpsons holiday or Halloween specials. You usually try to do your best stuff.
That last one was so bad.
Well, that's...
Simpsons.
Yeah.
Modern day Simpsons.
You don't think he's trying to like get people's attention to try to direct a superhero movie, do you?
I hope not. Because
he might. That could be. Is Moffat the one leaving?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's leaving.
Well,
yeah.
Then that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to show that he could write other genres other than Doctor Who. And superheroes are hot these days. Actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, he didn't do a very good job because he just stole everything from Superman.
Yeah,
he won.
Yeah, they even say superhero... They even say Superman's name by name. You see a Superman comic.
Oh, he makes this great joke as the first time the Doctor figures out that Clark Kent is Superman, and he thinks it's like a big deal that he kind of figured it out.
Yeah, he's sitting in this kid's room, and there's like all these comic books everywhere. And he's like, I want you to come here and see this, Grant. I want you to see this. Look at this. You see this? And you see this. Clark Kent and Superman are the same person. And the kid's like... Yeah, everyone knows that.
And he's like, look, I even drew little specks on Superman. And he's like, drew little glasses on his face.
Oh, that's great. That is kind of funny. But do you think if Moffat's leaving, superhero shows are big these days. Could this have been a backdoor pilot?
Oh, God, I hope not.
For a ghost TV series set in the Doctor Who verse?
They've already got the school.
But is it superhero based?
No.
Are superheroes big these days?
Yes. The Doctor's a superhero in his own right.
Does the BBC have any other Arrow or Flash or Supergirl-based TV series going right now?
No.
Call him my shot. It's, he wants it as a backdoor pilot for the Ghost.
No, because the character was dumb and the design was dumb.
Well, who cares? Yeah. Arrow's dumb. Arrow, keep making that.
Arrow is dumb. Arrow is dumb, but the Arrow's costume
is dumb.
He wears an angry hoodie.
He wears a leather angry hoodie. Can you imagine anything sweatier and more and less helpful in like the rain than a leather angry hoodie?
I'm sure it's water treated.
Didn't even wear a mask for the first like 5 seasons. Come on. He just put like a bunch of black crap around his eyes and put his hood up.
He Assassin's Creed's it the first season. Yeah, wears a lot of face makeup.
Yeah.
He does. Which is really funny when Stephen Amell does his Facebook Live thing, like after he's done shooting a scene or something, he's sitting there, he's still got the makeup on his face. He looks like a, I don't know, like a glam rocker.
I like how the kid calls the Doctor Dr. Mysterio. That's like the name the kid comes up with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think when the Doctor's in the United States, that should be what he's known as.
As Dr. Mysterio? Yeah, that's cool. That would be cool.
Jeez.
But, yeah.
Yes, yes. When we get the American openings for Doctor Who, it's going to be Dr. Mysterio. good grief.
Well, anyway, I think we've pretty well hit our time, so let's wrap things up.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweets at us at nerd_overload. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV. I almost forgot what it was called.
Yep, that's what it is. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. And
oh, and if you want to play a Christmas game starring all of us,
yeah,
nerdoverloadgames.itch.io. There's a game there I made for all of you to enjoy for the holidays. It's kind of past the holidays now, but it's still there if you want to check it out.
It's still enjoyable. Yeah, I played a few first couple levels of it. It's really good.
Hey, guess
Thank
what?
You.
I'm the best character.
It's kind of true. You're the
fastest
one.
Yeah, you
kind
of are the fastest one of the bunch. So anyway, yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next year.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.